legal matters can be a maze. But Andrew Smith strides confidently into the nettle patch with a solution to guide us. Let's unfold the blueprint of his take on legal services.
Hello, Nettles. My name's Andy Smith, and I'm pitching to you today about my new business, which is Fulford Family Mediation. So a little bit about me. I've been and still am a family law solicitor of 16 years. I've worked in family law for 18 years, and I was formerly a salaried partner at a law firm in York and Leeds. So I've sort of worked through Yorkshire really in my career. I'm from Scunthorpe originally in Humberside, as it was. And as of the last sort of 7 weeks, I've set up as a self-employed family law consultant. So I work for myself. And what that's done, it's allowed me to kind of choose to do my own thing and things that I want to do and not let other people tell me what to do or when to do it or how I should do it. And so as part of that, I've diversified a little bit and I've accredited as a family law mediator. I'm accredited with the Family Mediation Council. And as I say, I've set up as family, Fulford Family Mediation. I will, and I have already started, providing family mediation services to separated individuals who want some help in trying to reach agreements outside of court for, be that children arrangements, perhaps.
After a lot of savings here, of course, for both parties.
Yeah, that's right. Either. Huge savings on costs, you know, it's a difference of thousands, you know.
Does your opinion sort? Is that part of the act? Is that part of the mediation? Do they ask you your opinion on it?
Well, they can ask my opinion. So it's not legal advice.
No.
So I don't provide legal advice to the clients. What I do is it's kind of self-determining, really, mediation. So people are there to reach their own agreements. But what I do is I facilitate it in a way to kind of reality test maybe some proposals and work with them to see what works best for everyone and the children, obviously. And it's becoming more prevalent because earlier in the year, the government announced that family mediation would become mandatory.
And save a lot of court time.
Yeah, basically. So the Nuffield Foundation produced a report, and this was at the end of 2021, which found that there'd been just over 46,500 applications to court in the year ending 2020, this was, for children law applications. So it will have gone up by then. It's now becoming... There's now as many applications or even more applications than pre-pandemic times. And it was found that there were 65,668 children involved in proceedings in court. And also that actually one in four families in the court applications had already made applications in the past, so they were kind of making repeat applications to the court. Alongside the... announcement that mediation will become mandatory, except in some exceptional circumstances. There's also a government-backed voucher scheme, which is run through the Family Mediation Council, where mediating couples on children issues will get £500 towards family mediation.
Okay.
So a further savings. And this scheme has been in place for, I think it's about 6 months now. And what they've found is that the first 7,200 users of that scheme, 69% of those people have reached whole or part agreements away from court, so they haven't gone into the court system. So as I say, what I will do is I will be an entirely independent mediator. I'll help...
So you won't represent either?
I won't represent either of them. No. Sometimes... clients will come already having a solicitor,
right,
and they'll refer directly through their solicitor. But there's also cases where people will access mediation by themselves. You know, a lot of people do the kind of research that they need to do and find out what they need to do. As that independent person, I don't have any links to anybody and I don't have any sort of preconceptions on what might happen or what the outcome might be. And as a sort of a dual solicitor and mediator role, obviously, having done it for nearly 20 years, I know the law and I can try and kind of guide them around in it.
Navigating through laws and paperwork, Andrew's proposal offers clarity in the often foggy world of legal matters. The Nettles, intrigued, delve into the intricacies. Stay tuned for their insights.
Fair or right, then I can say, well, I don't actually think that would get through.
Right.
And try and sort of bring it round to maybe something else that would.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, the clients are there to make their own decisions.
Determine.
Yeah, and I can't make the decision for them.
How do you deal with it when there's a stalemate or there's a lot of acrimony involved? I mean, you must have faced that quite
a lot. Yeah, yeah, and it does happen, and obviously it's human nature, isn't it? It's not very
common. How do you take the wind out of all that?
There's a few ways you can do it. I mean, it's not easy, and you do get points where, like you say, there is a stalemate. There are some sort of quite innovative options in that if there's kind of real sticking point, you can bring in other external advisors, so for example maybe a qualified barrister to give a view and an opinion on maybe a sort of discrete part of law.
If you are qualified though, why are you not allowed to give advice?
Because it's a different role as a mediator.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can't step out and wear a different hat then?
No.
You can't act for two clients, I think.
I suppose that is true.
But is that part of it? You can't act for two opposing clients, really.
That's a good question.
It's like the conveyancing. You can't act for the buyer and the seller.
There has actually been recently a new resolution of a group of family lawyers who agreed to practice collaboratively and so keep the acrimony out of family court. So resolution as a body have come up with a new model whereby a family solicitor can actually act for two clients.
Yeah.
I'm not qualified or accredited in that particular bit. It's quite new, actually.
Are you interested in doing that?
Potentially, yeah. It's on my radar. And it is something that I'd considered. I think sometimes that being a mediator, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with it, actually, being the solicitor for both people, I must say. And I think that being a mediator, where that aspect of advice is taken out of the equation, and also where you don't have any sort of conflict of interest as a mediator, I think I'm a bit more comfortable with that.
Are you a general practitioner?
No.
Oh, so you're
only practicing family law, and it's
that's what you studied in only. Yeah.
So Eden. Yeah, I did a law degree, so I did a law and accountancy degree at Leeds University, and then I did the legal practice course at the Law College in York.
Yeah.
Which isn't there anymore.
No, I live there.
Yeah, yeah.
The house, the gate.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I know you mean.
We're about a year. Yeah.
So then in the LPC, the legal practice course, you had modules to choose, and one of which I chose was family law.
Yes.
And then I did my 2-year training contract in Scunthorpe, where I grew
right.
up.
Right.
And that was a high street firm, a lot of legal aid, a lot of sort of deprived families.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I practiced in family law for that 2 years, and I just stayed doing it.
So if you wanted to be a conveyancing lawyer, for instance, you'd have to go and do another something, would you?
No, you wouldn't necessarily have to. I mean, it's not that common these days where you've got a general practitioner.
No.
And most solicitors, if not all solicitors now, will specialise.
Specialise, that's what they prefer. Interesting.
And so I've only ever done family law, it's all about.
Okay, all right.
Different kind of firms and different kind of clients from time to time, but that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So is this a brand new venture?
It's a brand new venture, yeah. So I've been a consultant for only about 6 or 7 weeks now, after having taken the leap to go self-employed and leave my former practice. And so this is kind of like an adjunct to that, really. I will carry on doing my family solicitor day-to-day work, and this will be...
On your own, as your own business, as it were.
It's the consultant side of things. I'm working with, and it's kind of like a new model of law firms where they employ consultant solicitors and they use So I use their back office accountant.
It's insurance.
And insurance, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because that's very expensive, isn't
it? That's right. And then it's a fee-sharing scheme for that particular part.
Oh, okay. Is that a York law firm?
No, it's an international.
Oh, okay.
And as I say, it's people, you know, they've got over 200 consultants working with them. And everybody works where they work from, really, you know.
And as a lawyer.
Yeah.
No, this other one is consultants, this for media.
Mediation is entirely separate.
Your business.
I've got a question for you, which is: so, a couple comes to you for mediation, and they manage to find a resolution.
Yeah.
Do you then? How does that resolution then become officially documented?
So you will then be able, as a mediator, what you do is you prepare a memorandum of understanding,
right?
And so it will set out what their agreement is, and you. There's not many occasions where neither client have a solicitor.
Right.
So most times, there's one person with a solicitor, they will take that memorandum to their solicitor, say, here's our agreement, can you draw it up into our court, please? Solicitor will do that, lodge it with the court, get it sealed by the court, and that will be their agreement.
Okay. So where do you envisage people finding you? Like, where are you going to get work from?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, so... for now, because obviously I know a lot of family law solicitors and having done it for so long, but for now it has been, I mean, I've only started it for about a week, actually. I think my accreditation got approved about a week ago.
Right.
So I've already had a couple of referrals in from other solicitors. Okay. But the general public is where I could do the help, basically.
Okay.
Because I don't have any, you know, scrappy notes.
Surely as a lawyer you can are you allowed to refer yourself?
No.
So you're operating as a lawyer.
Yeah.
And you may recommend mediation, so you have to recommend somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Just for an ethic.
Yeah.
So I, you know, what I need the help with is the branding, is the website, is the, you know, for any of the general public to search family mediation, and I come up, and here's my business, and here's my fancy website with nice photos, and here's my referral forms, and this kind of thing.
But did you say that because of the changes with government legislation, this is a growing world?
It is, yeah. I mean, so I've worked in the previous firm I was with. I was there for 4 years in York. And I sometimes have some difficulty finding mediators in York.
There are
mediators in York, don't get me wrong. There aren't many male mediators. Don't
really?
Yeah, no, I mean, you're a lawyer. Be a mediator.
No, you don't, actually.
No.
No, you don't. No, there are.
Just the male part of that job as well.
Well, if it goes well, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You might make it work.
Well, I know you're planning to.
So growing, yes. I mean, so the plans to mandate it properly, those haven't been approved yet. It hasn't actually come in, the wider scale mandatory process. But I can see that it will do.
When?
I don't know, good question.
Oh, okay.
So they're consulting at the moment.
Oh, well, it's going
to,
yeah.
The consultation process was supposed to finish, you know, I think it was July this year. But
how can they make it mandatory? They're going to insist it's a little bit like ACAS, is it? Going through a throat.
There's a mandatory element at the moment in that you have to go to an assessment meeting, a mediation information and assessment meeting, before you can make an application to court. Mm. Now, that assessment meeting is just one client on their own meeting with a mediator for the mediator to explain what the process is, to take background of their case and what's happening and what they want help with. That's the only mandatory process at the moment. There are exceptions to it. So if there's domestic violence, social services, any safeguarding, you don't have to do that. Mm. But the actual mediation together with two clients together, that part isn't mandatory.
Does probate come into it or not?
In what way?
Well, usually under the heading of family.
I don't do wills and probate. It's a separate area of law. I mean...
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, you can get contested probate cases, and I imagine there's some mediation involved in that, but it's not something that I do.
But,
Have you got any sort of long-term goals for the business? You know, do you plan on taking a team of mediators on eventing? Or?
It's something that I considered. I mean, very early days for me, but, you know, there are some models of practices who do that precise thing, and similar to the way in which I'm employed as a consultant family lawyer, you can have a mediation business and employ mediators as consultants to work with you and, you know, service, hopefully, the many referrals that you get.
Interesting.
Even though you say they don't necessarily need to be lawyers, they would have to have some understanding of law, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, because, you know...
It's a difficult thing to get accredited in. The process is arduous and long, and you have to really put it in and have the mediation clients and have a certain number of hours of mediating and... mentoring and all this kind of thing, so it's not an easy thing to do.
No. Well, very interesting.
You mentioned that quite a lot of mediators are female. Is that because they're seen as more empathetic?
I don't know. I think family law in general, most of the practitioners are female. I don't know why that is,
but it's not a hindrance being a male.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much. That's very interesting.
Andrew's comprehensive approach to legal services is kind of revolutionary, simplifying complexities. He's set a new bar in the nettle patch. Be sure to join us for more game-changing pitches.